Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Nikah de masno, dukhe dil ka marham. Nikah de masno, dukhe dil ka marham. Ye farma gaye hai Rasool-e Mukarram. Ye farma gaye hai. رسول مکرم یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ شادی کی تقریب سب کو مبارک یہ شادی کی تقریب سب کو مبارک
7 minutes after 11 South African time. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning. Yes, it's time for our bliss of marriage. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and of course our beloved senior, respected honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafizahullah. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, and of course we welcome our beloved wonderful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Let's welcome our beloved engineer brother Bon phase. Remember all of our listeners, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Let's welcome our beloved Ustad. Ustad, welcome to the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Somebody says, Ustad, that dear Mufti Sahab, my grandkids are a menace. Is it our job to look after them while their parents go out every night? I would like to remain anonymous, Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will tackle this problem from three different dimensions. You, the parents, biological parents, and you, the grandparents, both sides, the dada, dadi, nana, nani, that is paternal grandparents and maternal grandparents, each one of you should be reading the following du'as and supplications. First one, Surah, chapter 46, verse 15. Open the 26 Supara, 26 Jews, and that is chapter 46, Surah Ahqaf, and verse 15. The verse is long. You just take this portion and read, Wa aslih li fi dhurriyati. O Almighty Allah, bring about reform, piety, goodness in my children, grandchildren, my progeny. Wa aslih li fi dhurriyati. So all of you, parents, grandparents, should be reading this verse and this portion abundantly. Second one, always read Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. O beloved Allah, grant us as spouses and such awlad and offspring and progeny that are the coolness of the eyes, qurrata a'yun. So that is Surah chapter 25, verse 74. In the 19th Supara, there the 19 Jews, just by the ending of the first quarter. And then the third verse you should be reading is as a dua for your children, grandchildren, Surah chapter 14, Surah Ibrahim, and verse number 40. Rabbi j'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyati. O Allah, make me of those people who perform salat, and we make others also read salat. We encourage them on one time. وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي And from my offspring also, my children also. رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَى O Allah, accept the supplication, the dua ends. So this is in the ending of the 13th Jews, 13th Supara. So here we will find one word is mentioned in all three verses, ذُرِّيَّة My children, grandchildren, progeny. So Surah number 46 verse 15, Surah 25 verse 74, chapter 14, Surah 14 verse 40. So that are your references. Now we come to the issue itself. Why the parents are out every night? Because now they go to meetings, they go meet their friends, they go enjoy themselves. What the parents are doing is totally haram. You the nana, nani, you the dada, daddy, you tell them it's your children and you look after them. The onus responsibility is on you and not on us as grandparents. You just come here and dump your children here by us and they create big problems here for us. They want TV, they want sweets, they want money, they want PlayStation, they want all the things and we must now sit with them and they cause us big problems. Yes, you tell them with our grandchildren, you bring them once a week or twice a week, fine. But every night you come dump him there? No. From now, it will stop. From today, it must stop. Anything you start on a Wednesday, very good. Ma min shay'in budi ayom al-arbiya illa qattamma. When you start something on a Wednesday, Allah Ta'ala is kupaya takmil tak ponjayenge. Allah Ta'ala will let it reach its completion and so forth. So you tell them from tonight. So tonight is night of Wednesday. So it's Wednesday. So you tell them that no more now. You look after your children. And if the onus is on the parents more than the grandparents, Quran is making it clear. Surah number 66, verse 6. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Ey iman walo, O you who believe, save yourself and your children from the fire. So the onus is on the parents, not today this friend, then this friend, then one party here, one meeting there, one dancing there and all that shaitaniyat. So all that what they're doing is haram. And remember Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said hadith in Bukhari Sharif, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyya. Each one of you, you are a shepherd and you'll be questioned regarding your flock. The parents will be questioned regarding their children. So it's not the responsibility and onus of the grandparents when the parents are alive. So the parents must look after their children and nurture their children, train them and coach them and not shirk their responsibility. So you put your foot down, oh nana, nani, dada, daddy, grandparents, and tell them no more we are allowing this. Maximum once or twice a week, that's sufficient.
I'm 17 years I am 17 years old. I'm a girl, Ustad, and I was married to my cousin who is 17 years old as well. We grew up together and always played together in childhood. And after marriage, my cousin does not want to work, nor does he want to study. He depends on his mother for everything. Anything, even personal things, Mufti Saab, I have to ask my aunt. I therefore ask for a divorce as he is a lazy boy and he and his father are ruled by his mother. I'm very disappointed and sad. What dua should I read, Ustad?
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. At the age of 17 now. So it means when you got married, you are around 16 or maybe 15 and a half or so. Because maybe your marriage lasted 6 months or 1 year. And now it's finished, it's divorced and so forth. So now, sister, let us look at everything from both sides. Weren't you all doing haram? That when you were young, you were playing together. It seems you are kaka vaddapayas. Kaka vaddapaya means that your father and his father are brothers. Or you are, you understand, from the mother's side, that the brother or mother, and you know, like that, your uncle and both sides and so forth. Okay. So whatever it is, but you are a very close family. So when you were growing up, you were 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. That is understood. But it seems that you were playing together when you were 13, 14, 15, when you are baligh also, then in the emotion you'll say, let's get married and so forth. He touch you, you touched him, all these type of things. Obviously, all that is haram, so both of you are guilty of that. And now, at that point, how come you didn't think about it, that how old this person, first of all, he's 16 years old, because you're 17 now, and he might be 17 as well. So, it means that how will he sustain you when he doesn't have a job, and when he doesn't? So, he also is guilty, but you also are guilty, because your emotions got the better of you, and that's why we always tell you, marriage is a big step in life. You must find out everything about that family, about the boy and the girl. So you knew the boy is your cousin, first cousin, he knew about you, but now you're going to apportion the blame, everything to him and to his father and so forth, and say the mother-in-law, she is the one who wears the skirts there, or the jeans there, or whatever you want to say. She is the controlling power and so forth. Now you can say all this, but remember, aren't you also to be blamed? Aren't your parents also to be blamed? When the proposal came, you just said, Bauharu, get married, very good. But the person is not working. It's not that he didn't start working, that he wasn't working even from before. So you must remember. So all parties here are guilty. It's not one party that's guilty. All parties are guilty. But end of the day, sister, remember, all Almighty Allah gives us motivation, inspiration. Write down these verses and it will help you in life. You're still very young. Make shukr. Thank Allah 2 rakats daily. You didn't fall pregnant. You don't have a child or children. That should cause more complications in your life. So chapter 39 and verse 53. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never ever lose hope and never become despondent, disillusioned in the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So that is the first lesson that you should learn. That always say, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Oh Almighty Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. Ya Allah, through your mercy, you help me in my life, now and in the future. Yes, I made mistakes. We all make mistakes. I committed sins. We all commit sins. So Almighty Allah will envelope you with His mercy. Second one, remember, sister, besides chapter 39, verse 53, you should look at chapter number 8 and verse 70. So what is chapter 8, verse 70? إِيَّعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا. To me, it seems you were so nadan and naive, you just got married and said, very good. So you didn't find out anything, nor did your parents also worry about this. They said, no, hita panja sagayin, panja hagayin. These are our close family and everything will work out. So when there's goodness in your heart, يُؤْتِكُمْ خَيْرًا مِمَّا أُخِذَ مِنْكُمْ, Allah will give you something better compared to that which was snatched away and taken away from you. You went in, married, 16 years old, 17 you divorced. So now something went away. There's a big vacuum in your life. The stigma of divorce will remain. But remember, people can condemn, criticize, but Allah Ta'ala is always there for everybody. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ and Allah forgives you the sins. Surah chapter 8, Surah Anfal, verse 70. So inshallah, daily give out some charity, daily make dua, wondering also is fine, Turan also is fine, and inshallah, Allah will give you someone much, much better. But remember the golden rule, make homework, make istikhara, and don't just go into something emotionally and blindly.
So start being a mother of 3 kids, who has more rights to scream at the kids to start? Is it me or my husband?
Remember that regarding bringing up of the children is a joint responsibility. Look at the Quran Sharif, chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, verse 24. Me and you as children, I have parents, let's just say they are alive, they passed away, Allah give all our parents Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. But let's say they are alive. So whose responsibility is to bring me up when I am 2, 5, 8, 10, 15 years old? See, Allah says, you children, read this dua. Rabbirahamuhuma, chapter 17, verse 24. Ya Allah, my beloved Allah, sustainer, nourisher, provider. Rabbirahamuhuma, have mercy on them, my father, mother. Kama is Rabbayani, Rabbaya, it is Tathniya, dual, as both of them nurtured me, trained me, coached me. Kama Rabbayani Sahira, when I was a baby, when I was an infant, when I was a youngster. So it shows it's a joint responsibility. Second one, screaming, shouting, that is not permissible. We will make your children more and more stubborn, and they will become rebellious and disobedient like that. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Bayhaqi, al-birru la yubla, wa-dhambu la yunsa, wa-dayyanu la yamut, i'mal ma-shit, kama tadinu tudan. Subhanallah, if you only know what hadith sharif teaches us. Al-birru la yubla, good actions never get worn out. Remember that, good actions every day, every time we do, they fresh. Wazambula yunsa, the sins never get forgotten. Allah Ta'ala knows everything, our past, our present, our future. So Allah Ta'ala, ma kana rabbuka nasiya. So yes, our sins get forgiven, expunged, all that, but by Allah, it's still there, so never gets forgotten. Wadayyanu la yamut, Allah is the most just, so remember, he never dies. For him, he's hayyul qayyum, ever living, self-subsisting. And i'mal ma'ashit, do what you want to do, kamata dinu tudan, as you treat people, so you'll be treated. So if you're going to scream and shout and all that, what you think? You will find your children will start shouting, screaming at you when they grow up. Because that's what you taught them, so you have to become the example for them. You have to be the one who wins them over with love and compassion. You have to be the one that in those difficult times where children are given condoms in school at the age of 12. So you must remember, it's a toxic, satanic society outside there. And anytime we can lose our children, Allah forbid. So therefore, start ta'aleem, win them over with love, with beauty and wisdom, and then inshallah, they will never forget you, hayyan wa mayta. Whilst you are alive and after your death, every day they will make dua for you. Because you are the real asset, you were the real pillar in their life. That is what Islam is. Not you just start screaming, who can scream the loudest, ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. So you must, so that's shaitaniyat, that you must remember that. So that is not our way. Our way is the Quranic way. Our way is the Hadith way. So that is what we must do.
I see a listener says, striking a balance between in-laws who start. Mufti Sahab, my wife refuses to visit my parents, but she insists on seeing her parents daily. Can I force my wife to visit my parents as they are starting to questioning my marriage? Ustad, anonymous.
Remember that you are asking the question halfway. You are married 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. You have 1, 2 children. I'm just giving example. I don't know you. You don't have to tell me where you are, what's your name. We don't want to know that. We just use your question as a case study. So how come that your wife has become so bitter against your parents or against your mother and so forth and so on, and she is living in the same place, the town where her parents are and so forth? So two wrongs will not make a right. So how you visit your parents every day? So that's very good, you make their khidmat. So you must tell her, fine, you go visit your parents every day, half an hour, 1 hour, not for 2, 3, 5 hours in that. You must be back home, look after the children, look after the house, look after the husband, all these type of things. So marriage is give and take, my brother. So you have to ask this question, that why is my wife not prepared to come and visit my mother? Leave every day, even once a week, why she doesn't want to come? Something triggered that, and that conveniently, selective amnesia, you don't mention that. So maybe your mother told her something very bad and, you know, rude or whatever, Oh, you told her something very bad or something. Or maybe father-in-law, your father said, I don't know, I'm just thinking aloud and looking at the possibilities and so forth. So for all intents and purposes, you must be the diplomat. You must tell your wife she is the junior one. She must go to your mother, she is the senior one, and go ask her for forgiveness. Even if your mother is wrong, she must still go and ask her for forgiveness. Because Islam teaches us, مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَلَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Whosoever does not show mercy, compassion to our youngsters, and does not show respect to our elders, they're not of us. Is authentic hadith this, open Riyadu Salihin, Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, various compilations, you will find words like this. So the point I'm making here is this, and thereafter, that don't impose upon her, no, you are going to your parents every day, you must visit my parents every day. No. So you must tell her, please, darling, Popi, sweetheart, once a week, go visit my parents also. Don't make them outlaws. I am not telling you, you can't go to your parents. So you go every day, but this are the time you come back, you go and you come back. But my parents, I'm asking you, once a week you must go. So slowly, slowly, you'll win her heart over. And the two of you, husband, wife, all this in-law, outlaw business, the two of you first, you have to cement your marriage. And both of you have to come on the same page. Not she is on the last page and you on the first page. You know, every day there'll be rows and ructions. Unity of thought. Both of you have to be on the same page. And both of you must be walking, talking, moving in the same direction. Then you will find when you embrace one another, then it will be a bed of roses and not a bed of thorns. So that is my advice to both parties.
Somebody says it's becoming a trend, Mufti Saab, where women are seeking divorce so that this can make a material claim against the husband. There is no consideration for any kids from the marriage. This is selfish and dangerous. Am I correct? And what can we do to rectify it, Ustad?
First and foremost, you, the husband, when you went to get married and proposed to that lady, you need to be honest. Therefore, Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, Allama Nawawi, rahimahullah, Sahib Mishkat in Mishkat Sharif, these are all famous great works of hadith. So each one of them, Bukhari Sharif, Mishkat Sharif, Riyadu Salihin, the first hadith they mention is what we learned in madrasa, primary madrasa, and so forth. Primary school, what we learn? Innamal a'malu binniyat. Your actions will be judged according to your intention. So when you went to marry this lady, what did you see? You saw her mal. You saw they living in a lap of luxury. You saw her jamal, her beauty. She got green, blue eyes. She's fair in complexion. Her hair is brownish, blondish. Aita bohari lage. Wahwa, shabash kalender. So you said, yes, this is right. You never looked at her taqwa, her piety, her salat, her character. All that was not on our radar. It was far below and down the radar. So now we got married. Now this wife, she got very clever because husband told her nonsense. Mother-in-law told her nonsense. Father-in-law also jumped in and told her nonsense. So he said, I'm going to fix the whole lot of you up. So what she did, what she's doing is totally haram. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called them hunna al-munafiqat. They are the hypocrites. Those who ask for talaq min ghayri ba'asin, min ghayri uzrin, without any justification. So they demand the talaq or they make khula and so forth just to without a valid reason. So Allah Ta'ala curses upon such ladies. You go open Mishkat Mustan Ahmad, you will find the words there. But remember that we as husbands also are to blame. When we went for the selection of the spouse, our criteria was wrong. We should have taken taqwa, piety, good character, and you know, contact with Islam and devotion, dedication to Islam, allegiance to Islam as priority number one. So the taqwa of the person will prevent them from doing these type of things. Yeah? So when we love in in the material world. So the lady says, now I'm married 5 years, I got 2 children, I want my independence. That's the word they want. I want my independence. So when she wants independence, she will not bother about you, the husband. She will not bother about the children. They'll say they finish breastfeeding, all these things there. Now it's time to collect lomali. Niga lomali, you see. So how are they going to go and milk you? That they will go for a divorce. They will trump up charges against you. That there's no smoke without fire. You did cause certain wrong things, but they will exaggerate it, blow it up, get the sympathy, empathy of people, and you will say, fine, they're the best thing, you give talak, and then you will pay, right for another 5, 10, 20 years. So she got the independence, she got the income, and so forth and so on. So all this is, you know why? Because we are the ones who gave them the wrong education, we gave them secular education, we brought the TVs and the movies and the cell phones, and every day they're watching this. How you can play the game, join the game, blame the game. So this is the game they play. Remember when in Maqasid al-Hasana, Allama Sakhawi's kitab is mentioned, when the husband issues the talaq verbally or in writing and so forth, ihtazza bihi arshur rahman, the arsh, the throne of Allah shakes. So Quran teaches us, Surah 2 verse 102, yufarriquna bihi bain al-mar'i wa zawji, that the shaitan, the Satan, Lucifer's aim is to cause separation between husband and wife. So therefore I beg you, Muslim men, Muslim women, all of you, talaq, divorce must never ever be the first option. It must be the last resort. Hamara kam jorna hai torna nahi. Our function duty must be to make the home and not to break the home. And this is something, you understand, really disgusting, that a woman breaks her home without a valid reason, dumps her husband, dumps her children. Because end of the day, the hidden agenda, the ulterior motive is, I will milk this ex-husband of mine and he will have to pay. So all that payment you are asking post-iddat, after the iddat, is haram and not permissible in Islam. So think properly. Yes, in this world you will get a lot of money, you will make money, but you will never get change, peace and tranquility, sukoon, because you have become the zalim, the zalima, the oppressor. And once a person is a zalim, see Israel, the rogue apartheid regime, whether you call it this virus, that virus, shaitan virus or Father Christmas virus or whatever virus you want to call, so they have put on the lockdown the strictest in the world. That is what I told you. Surah 7, chapter 7, verse 167, always mark it down, this verse, that make a note of it, chapter 7, verse 167, they say, we got Israel, the promised land, the land of honey and milk, and it's our country, and so all this propaganda the rogue regime will make. But what? Allah says, wa idh ta'adhana rabbuk, your Allah, ya Rasul Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has announced, la yab'athanna alayhim ila yawm al-qiyamah, surely, definitely, Allah will continue punishing the Jutlas and the Jews, majority of them, till the day of justice, may yasumuhum su'al adhab, whether they get punished by Hitler, they get punished by Hamas, they get punished by the Mujahideen, they get punished by the virus, they will be punishment for them, whether they like it or they dislike it. Surah 7, 167. So Almighty Allah is teaching us that me and you, when we start making zulam and oppressing, so yeah, the wife is the oppressive party, so you think you're going to make millions and so forth, but you will never find peace, tranquility. Always you will find bahir shirwani and andar pareshani. You will wear the best clothes, but inside, you will find all the worry, sorry, anxiety, problems, because you made so much zulam Normally the husband makes zulam and oppresses the wife, but sometimes and occasionally the wife is the oppressive party, and you dump your children for what? Just for the money? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But that is the plight of the ummah today. Allah Jalla wala protect us.
Mufti Sahib, you saying that the last resort is talaq. I'm 23 years of age and my husband is 29 years old. We are married for 6 months, but I didn't know that he is very addicted to alcohol. He comes home sometimes drunk, but I'm not going to tell his parents, Mufti Sahib. And I'm not going to tell my parents because hell will break loose. What do I do in this situation, Ustad? Please don't blame my parents. Anonymous sister, 23 years old, Ustad.
We're not blaming your parents. Remember, I don't know you, I don't know your parents, we don't know. But what I am telling you is this, as advice. What is deen? Ad-deenu an-nasiha. Authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. Our deen is Islam. And what is Islam? An-nasiha. To give sincere advice. Be honest, you, your parents, your family, did you really make any homework of this person when the proposal came? Did you all find out from the ulama, does he come to the masjid and so forth? What is his aqidah? What is his belief structure and so forth and so on? So remember, it seems superficially and, you know, prima facie evidence, you did not do that. So when you didn't do that, now you 23 years old, your husband 29 years old, you just married 6 months and now you are speaking like this. When a person gets addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, you need to understand, my sister, it's not me, it's Allah Jalla Wala who created the entire universe and created me and you. What is he saying? Almighty Allah states, Surah 5, Surah Ma'idah, and verse number 1991, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, innamal khamru wal maysiru wal ansabu wal azlamu ritsum min amali shaitan. That there's alcohol, there's gambling and other actions that. So all those are impure, napaki. And ritsum min amali shaitan, the handiwork of shaitan. Fajtanibu, you must abstain from it. La'allakum tuflihun, so that you are successful. Allah says you must abstain, then you'll be successful. Today Muslims say, no, I will continue drugs, alcohol, I'll be successful. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Chapter 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse 90. See the next one. Will your marriage go ahead if thus? Meaning, will it be a prosperous, happy marriage? See, Surah 5, chapter 5, verse 91. Innama yuridu shaitanu an yuqiya bainakumul adawata wal baghdaa fil khamri wal maysir. Shaitan's only aim is to cause between you more hatred and enmity, internally and externally. More and more hatred will come with the alcohol and with the gambling. وَيَسُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَنِسَلَاتِ. It will prevent you, remember this alcohol and everything, from the remembrance of Allah and from salat. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Are you going to stop now, immediately? When this verse was revealed, the Sahaba shouted, إِنْتَهَيْنَا إِنْتَهَيْنَا. We have stopped. We took the bottles and smashed it to the ground. More alcohol was flowing than water in Medina Munawwara after these verses were revealed. Surah 5, verses 1991. So now let us look at your picture. You don't going to tell your parents, fine. You're not going to tell his parents, fine. But when he is sober, you, Fatima, Zainab, Aisha, Jamila, he, Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali, Abdul Qadir, whatever. When he is sober and you are alone, both in a good mood, you need to bring this to his attention. Oh, hubby, oh, husband, darling, whatever sweetheart you call him, that this alcohol, remember, is going to destroy you and destroy the marriage and destroy everything of our future. So the hadith in Sunan Nasai, Al-Khamru Ummul Khaba'is, Ummul Fawahis, that alcohol is the mother of all vices. ISIS and sin and shaitan yet. So what's going to happen is you need to speak to him that you must give this up immediately. And your friends that you move around with and so forth, you have to disassociate with them, sever ties with them and so forth. And you tell him, if you do that, then we can go forward with this marriage and so forth. If you're going to continue like this, then you, is December now coming, tomorrow is December, so you will say, I will take a temporary separation, because how can I be sleeping with a person who is having so much alcohol and drugs and what have you in his body, and when husband-wife relationship, conjugal relations take place, all that comes into your body. So imagine all the harm and so forth. Tomorrow you fall pregnant, so your children will also be negatively impacted with all this. So therefore Islam said alcohol, two industries in Islam, A to Z, totally, absolutely condemned. One is riba, interest, sud, viaj, call it whatever you want to. So that Islam is banned and made unlawful, absolutely. That's different thing, our Maulvis and them for money's sake, scholars for dollars, from the back door they're trying to legalize it, Sharia compliant and so forth. But you see, it's haram. Second one is alcohol. Every drop of it is what is haram. Ma askara kathiruhu faqaleelu haram. That whatever intoxicates in large quantities, one drop of it is haram. Habibuna, listen carefully what I'm saying now, sister. Man sharib al khamra, a person takes alcohol, lam yakbalillahu lahu salatan arba'ina sabaha. All these are hadith in Mishkat Sharif. When a person drinks alcohol for 40 days, that ibadat, that salat of the person is not accepted, meaning the reward will be much, much decreased and less. So look at the harms. So you must give and put an ultimatum for him that you must stop today, and it's end of November, from December nothing, now from tonight nothing of all this, and all these crooked friends you have to sever times. He doesn't want to listen, he wants to continue, then you must say you're going for temporary separation, go to your parents, whatever you. And then if he changes, you go back. He doesn't change, make istikhara, whether it is best for you to stay in that marriage or for you to walk off this marriage. You make the istikhara. If it is my daughter, and remember that that person, Allah forbid, is like that, he's not prepared to change. We're giving him another chance, another opportunity, but he is not prepared, then it's best you walk away from that marriage, because you must remember that people who are addicted to this, I've been to many rehabs, and I ask them, be honest, not in front of the people who are addicted and so forth, in private, what is your success rate here? Maximum they'll tell you is 20-25%, maybe 30%, but even one third they can't reach. So they got 10%, 15%, 20%. So if you, my sister, thinking everything will become hunky-dory in future, so it will not happen. Yes, Allah's fadl, Allah's mercy comes, a different issue. But normally it doesn't happen unless he, in Surah 13, verse 11, Allah mentions this. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bianfusim. Allah will not let the condition of a people or a person change until and unless he himself changes. So we have to change, my sister. That is my advice to you from my heart. You decide what you want to do. It's your life.
I see the sister, she's crying, dear Mufti Sahib, and she says that he wants me to fall pregnant, but you don't blame me, dear Mufti Sahib, for not being intimate with him. Ustad.
100%. That's another issue. You must tell him you will not be intimate with him as long as he is a drunkie and he's taking alcohol and so forth. So you must remember that don't fall pregnant and sleep with him unless and until he kicks this habit there totally and absolutely. So that is your Islamic right as well.
One more question, Ustad, before we go for an interval. I see the sister says that, dear Mufti Sahib, we are very, very, very upset of the government because petrol price is increasing from the 1st of December. My husband can't even afford it, Ustad. Diesel 49 cents, paraffin 43 cents, and petrol 93 plus 42 cents per liter, Ustad.
And 95.81 cents, you forgot the main one. So if I go and fill up my car now, so it will cost over 20 rand. That's why I went yesterday and I filled up. So you must remember, it will cost over 1,000 rand to fill up one tank. So you must remember that. I told you, sister, three things. You must remember, take us, Muslims especially, human beings generally, but particularly, specifically Muslims. Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, gives examples in the Quran. The examples are not for entertainment and information. Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, teaches us chapter 59, verse 21. Chapter Surah 59, verse 21. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ These examples we give you, so that you, they, the human beings, they must wonder, ponder, and reflect over it. So see, Allah Ta'ala giving example. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرِيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُتْمَئِنَّةً يَعْدِيَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ Allah sets forth the example. What is the example of a town, a city, a country? They were living in peace, tranquility, serenity. There was no kidnapping. There was no real theft, you know. There was petty theft, but not like what we're seeing now. Corruption and theft and kidnapping and hijacking, con, rape, murder, beyond control. All this we can see. So why has all this changed? Because we have changed. Me and you, Abdullah, Amatullah, me and you, O Muslim, Muslimah, we changed. See what Quran says. When you were getting everything, instead of making shukr, grateful to Almighty Allah, obedience to Allah, obedience to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ The citizens, the residents, the Muslims of the town, city, country, they made kufran and ni'mat, ungrateful, unthankful, to the ever-recurring bounties, favors of Almighty Allah. You see, now the mangoes are out, the leeches are out, the watermelon is out. Bring, I want to taste. Allah says, فَأَذَاقَهَ اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوءِ وَالْخَوْفِ Then as a result of that ingratitude, unthankfulness, Almighty Allah will give you the garment. Any city, any country, any place you go, they will be Jew, there will be poverty, there will be fear. بِمَا كَانُوا يَسْنَعُونَ Because of their own actions. Action and reaction. Amal and Radde Amal. Cause and effect. So we must first look at ourselves. How dedicated, devoted we are to Islam, to our Allah. So when we transgress so much, so Allah brought this halat condition. Then we come to the politicians. We know they're not interested. Every one of them, 90%, when I say everyone, it means overwhelming majority, are there for self-interest. To fill their pockets, Muslim, non-Muslim, whole happy lot, you must remember that. So 80-90% are there. They will tell you, we will do this. All that is hollow promises before the elections. After they become councillor, member of parliament, finished, they gone. You won't see them until a crisis comes and so forth. So remember, corruption is the forte of these people. And remember that we have to turn more to Almighty Allah. Make tawbah, and then Allah will give us barakah, blessing in our life, which is mentioned in Quran. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهَلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ When the people of the towns and cities have true iman, they have true taqwa, we will open the doors of the barakat and blessings from the skies and from the land and the sand. So that is where we are failing today. So we have to change our life also, from ingratitude to being grateful, thankful to Almighty Allah.
Well, it's exactly now 9 minutes to 12 o'clock. I see Ma from Newcastle, dear Mufti Sahib, says, I want the clip of those people who accepted Islam this morning on Maulana Arafat show. Ustad Ma from Newcastle.
MashaAllah, Ma, Maulana Arafat send it out to hundreds and thousands of people. I send it out to all the groups. Ma, why are you not on our group? If you're on our group, you'll get everything. So tell your son, your daughter, grandchildren, children that they must put you, they must send me a WhatsApp message, 071-888-1184. 071-888-1184. Just say Edmar NN Newcastle to the group and we'll do it, we'll send it to you. But Mona, you got Ma's number there, right?
Yeah.
So just send it to Ma, inshallah. Yes, Ma, it was very touching that I did the program. I went for Fajr and then I went to food, feed the birds and all that. Maulana came running. Come, come. I said, what's wrong? They said, the people are waiting.
Allah,
so, mashallah. So, five people embrace Islam. Husband and wife, Abdullah, Amatullah, yeah, in South Africa before they returned. Mashallah. Then she, Amatullah, made effort on her family. She brought her parents into the fold of Islam. She brought her brother, Abu Bakr, into the fold of Islam. And look at all the names. Abdullah, Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ahabbul Asma'i ilallah, Abdullah wa Abdurrahman. The best names you can have is Abdullah, Abdurrahman. So we gave them that name, Abdullah and Amatullah, male slave of Allah, female slave. Then they chose these names, mashallah, Mawlana Arafat also was assisting them. So Ibrahim, so mashallah, beautiful name, Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, and 69 times his name in the Noble Quran, and it means compassionate father. Maryam for the mother, so Surah Maryam chapter 19, 34 times her name in the Quran. And then Abu Bakr for the brother. What's the meaning of Abu Bakr? The one who helps the poor, the needy, and the people who are destitute, so the weak people. So see, said Abu Bakr, I wish to practice on that. So great, great names, mashallah. So Allah Ta'ala keep us, keep them steadfast on Iman. And then after Mawlana Arafat sends it to you, Ma, you must send it to the whole of Newcastle, Ne Dundee, and Handa and Mokalwanu, inshallah. Send it to everybody, okay, Ma? Inshallah.
Ustaz, Mufti Sahab, we live in my house, so am I allowed to ask my husband to pay rent, Ustaz?
So you must remember, you mean the house is on your name, and now the husband is living in your house there. So you must tell him that the hubby, if you were going to stay somewhere else, there was rental, so just give me allowance, 5,000 rent, 10,000 rent, and so forth. So in that, everything will come in there. So like that, you must put it. You're going to tell him rental here, blow a gasket. So you must tell him, if he's rich, you can tell him 10,000, is not middle class, 5,000, if he's poor, 2,000, like that, whatever you'll feel. And in that way there, tell him it is allowance, and that is what the husband should give to his wife, because you're not only his wife, you are his secretary, you are his cook, you are the one looking after his children, you are looking after his valuables, you give him peace, you give him 101 things you are doing, which you must remember, most of it is a favor you are doing. And therefore, Islam teaches the husband, the Allah Ta'ala commands the husbands, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Surah 4, chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 19, and treat your wives with equity and with justice and love and so forth and so on. So that is what Almighty Allah Jalla is teaching us. So make mashura among yourself, make sure the children, nobody is there, and your husband is in a good mood, and then you bring about this discussion.
Somebody said, Ustad, what about mothers-in-law who ask the son to beat his wife up because maybe the food doesn't have salt, or the wife didn't sweep the carpet straight according to how the carpet is made, Ustad?
Remember, for the husband to beat up his wife, all that totally haram in Islam. I just quoted the verse now, that I don't know which questions Mona is going to ask. So remember that Surah 4 verse 19. And for you to beat up your wife is totally haram, even if your mother or father or both of them say so. So you don't listen to them and trample on the laws of Islam. La So as that there is no obedience to any creation, whether it is your parents, your teacher, or anybody else, when it leads to a sin against the Creator. Ask your mother, you the husband who wants to beat up your wife, did she not cook 1-2 times and the food and the salt was less and so forth? Did she not make a mess when she cleaned the house and all that with the vacuum, it was not properly cleaned? So just for flimsy reasons like this, you want to beat up the wife and all that. Anybody, I always say this, especially nowadays, you see the government also, they had 16 days, and they're all waste of time, all this. You must remember this. You must have the whole year program like this, that anybody beats up the wife, beats up the woman, all that, straight wrong to. No bail, no nothing. So you must come down hard on them. Therefore, I say and tell all the wives, if your husband beats you up and beats you black and blue and what have you, don't waste time by me and the Jamiats and Ulama. We can't do anything. Nobody has executive power. We just, you understand, consultative power. We can just give you advice, advisory capacity. So you go straight to the police, you lay a charge of assault, they will take that serious, and they can pick him up and put him in jail for 1 weekend also. He'll come out straight like a miswak, you must remember. So what advice is inna lillah, we have to say, today mothers give their, some mothers obviously, give some sons advice, go beat your wife up. So the mother also upside down, and the son who listens to that, he also another crooked guy. He's a sissy, he can't go and take a fight with a man, so now he go beats his wife up, Allah forbid. So therefore, when there's no taqwa, there's no understanding of deen, then we do all this kind of haram things, inna lillahi, Allah ta'ala give us understanding, and not oppress people, Allah forbid. Okay, let me give you the rundown, inshallah, for the program still to come for today. So 12 o'clock will be the news with Brother Yusuf Ali, inshallah. Thereafter, Iman and Yaqeen by Moana Suleiman, Ahmed Suleiman Katani, inshallah, between 12 and 1. 1 o'clock Zohar Adhan, 105 to 130, Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verses 83 to 92. And then 130 to 2 will be from the archive, Surah Hijr, chapter 15, verses 16 to 25. 2 to 3, Madrasa on Air, Moana Zahid Khan. 3 to 3:30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A, Alhamdulillah. 3:30 to 4 will be the Urdu Tafsir by Mufti Ahmad Kanpuri, and he'll be discussing Surah Wateen, chapter number 95 of the Noble Quran. Wateen was Zaytun. 4 to 5, Surah Hashr, the chapter 59, Mona Ridwan Kaji, the summary of it. Then 5 to 7, Mona Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, the repeat of Surah Maryam, verses 83 to 92. And thereafter, 7:30 to 8 will be, inshallah, Mona Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah's advices. And 8 to 10, Brother Shafaat Ahmad Khan, mashallah, he has various guests, month after Dana, so that is between 8 and 10 tonight. And then 10 to 11, Sheikh Anwar al-Awlaki al-Shaheed, the Akhirat, the Year After series. So wonderful programs, make dua for us and the Ummah at large. Barakallahu fiqh, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And of course, tomorrow morning, 4 to 6, Al-Safinatu ila al-Jannah. Up next, the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.